for this evening. Thank you, Lord God, for the chance to come together in Jesus' name right now. And Lord, we just leave every care, every concern, every worry, Lord God, every heartache, Lord God, every anxiety, everything, Lord, at your feet right now, Lord. And we just rest in your presence, Lord. We rest in you. Father, with all that's going on in the world and all that's going on around us, Father, we are so grateful that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And so, Lord, we thank you for the safety that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the provision that we have in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that in you we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord, this day, Lord God, we're just so grateful in our hearts for all that you have done, Lord God, for us, and all that you continue to do for your people to sustain and to watch over us in these days. And Lord, just this evening, Father, as we would open up your word, as we would spend some time in your presence, Lord, we invite, Father, the free flow of your Holy Spirit here. Lord, we just set aside every weight, every care, every sin that so easily besets, everything, Lord God. And Lord, we just run the race with perseverance, Lord, as your Spirit empowers us and strengthens us as we wait upon you for our strength, Lord, and we do mount up with wings as eagles this evening. And Lord, we bless your holy name, and Father, right now I get out of the way, and Lord, I just invite you to do and have your way in and through me, Lord, and I acknowledge that there's nothing in me that's good but your Holy Spirit. So Lord, thank you, Father, for this night, and Lord, we go on into it in Jesus' name. Amen. Binding every demonic force and every spiritual wickedness and throwing it out in Jesus' name, because we have that power over all of that. Okay, cool. Okay, so John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And Inoka with her flashy new Bible is going to read it all to us.
No.
Okay.
You're going to read it.
That's no. Okay, I'll read. Fine. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whether I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he said, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say unto judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. And Jesus said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto him, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." They said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinced me of sin? Convinceth me of sin. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? And he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Who makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. If your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Okay. Excuse me. Have a... please. Okay. We are in a series. We're in part two now. And we'll just discuss this. Okay, we're in part two. Prison Planet is what we're in. Okay. Excuse me. Why, and tonight I want to talk a little bit about the role of religion in maintaining a prison planet. Okay, why did people have a problem with Jesus? Okay, so Jesus came to set everybody free. And why would people have a problem with him setting people free?
Because there's a threat on him, right?
Okay, what's the threat? Okay, so Jesus comes to set people free. What's the threat if people are set free? What's the problem?
Then, you know, people won't be in this network, the drones, doing, you know, all evil and being Satan.
Well, definitely, okay, one thing for sure, if people are set free and they're not hooked into the world system, there's no way to perpetuate the world and the world system anymore. See, the world system depends on people willfully giving their allegiance to it. And if people's wills don't bow to the world system, if they don't give themselves over to the world system can't maintain itself. So the world system, the illusion of the world system, requires that people believe it in order to maintain it. For example, okay, like right now, what is money? I mean, if you think about it, what really is money? I mean, money is a value that people have placed on something. Well, why does it have that value? Why is 1 rupee worth 1 rupee? Why is a dollar worth a dollar? Why is a euro worth a euro? Because the masses of people have all come together and believe that this piece of paper with this number backed by this country has this inherent value in it. And if people stop believing it, it ceases to have that value. Because it's an illusion. And so right now what's happening, for example, in America, is the illusion is cracking. So like now with the financial collapse that's taking place in America, and the global recession, the global depression that's now starting, which is going to get much worse, with what's taking place, what you see taking place is basically the illusion is cracking up. It can't hold itself together anymore. And so it's the Ponzi scheme is falling apart. Do you ever know what the Ponzi is? You ever heard of that? Okay, I'll do a quick. There's a guy named Ponzi back in it's probably before the Great Depression or whatever. But he went around, and somebody in Sri Lanka just recently did this, and this was all over the news. They call it a Ponzi scheme. But he went around to people offering them like super high interest. And so he did this around this network of like social elites and stuff. And so people were like, oh wow, this guy's giving 10% interest a month back to anybody that puts their money in. And so everybody was coming to him with their cash. Now what he was doing was people would come to him with money, and the first people that would give him money, then he just started paying them back at 10% right away with even their own money. And then other people came, so he wasn't doing anything to invest it, but then other people kept coming to him, and so he was just paying people back with the new money that came in. And so quickly he had a ton of people like putting money into it, but it can't sustain itself because you have to have this broadening base of investors that are always putting money in, and nobody come and collect and nothing ever come due. And if you don't actually produce something, there comes a point where the whole thing collapses. You just can't keep it going. So the world system is very much like that. The systems of the world are built on a shaky foundation. Jesus Christ, when he talked about the storms that come, he said, look, the storm will come. And it tests, you have the house built on the sand and you have the house built on the rock. When the storm comes, the house built on the rock stands. The house built on the sand will fall. So right now what's happening around the world is a lot of houses built on the sand are really shaking, really bad right now. They will fall. They will fall. And you will see collapses of all of these things. You'll see collapses of more and more financial institutions. You'll see collapses of more and more businesses that people thought were like the bedrock of so many of these societies, because of the fact that these businesses, they require that people buy into the illusion. And in order for people to continue to buy into the, what's a stock? What exactly, what's a stock? Why is a stock worth $60 and not 10 cents? And what's a cent worth? So this again is the world system is made by the allegiance of man and woman giving themselves over to the system, and the system being allowed to be created through the participation of their soul in it. And if they give their soul and their will over to it, then now they're hooked into it, so then at the time where their life ends, now their soul is sucked up into it. And their souls are lost in it. Now that system is established. So when we were born into this world, you're born into a place where that system exists. And this system is designed to harvest your soul. The system is designed to bring you into it. So everything that's there, everything that's in place for that, is to get your soul and to get you to willfully give yourself over to it. So when Jesus shows up, light in this world, exposing the darkness, exposing where people are at, exposing the motives in the hearts of where people are, now all of a sudden those that particularly have given themselves over to the world in exchange for position, because they don't just want to be part of the world, they want to be something in the world while they're here. They don't just want to be a slave, they want to be a high rank slave. They want to be a house Negro. They don't want to just work in the field. I mean, it's like they want to move up. They still want to be a slave, but now they want to move up in the world system, and now they want to be managing director. Now they want to be CEO. Now they want to be somebody in the world. So now, Jesus in John chapter 8 is having it out with those that fulfill one specific function within the world system, which is they are wardens, if you would, of the prison. See, religion, by and large, if you look at the religions of this world, what they do is they function as wardens would in a prison, of like keeping prisoners in place, keeping them in a certain... So it's like, so whenever you have somebody now that's beginning to get out, beginning to see the light, anything, now these guys show up and quickly steer this person back to keep them in the prison. See the thing about this prison is that it can't hold you if you've been set free by the light and the truth. It can't hold you if you will allow the blood of Jesus to be applied to your life, if you receive the gift of salvation that God offers. If your eyes are, it can't hold you in that case, because now it has no legal right to your soul, because you've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. So now it can't hold you unless you willfully choose to stay there. So it's like you have like a 250-pound linebacker football player, and you have like, you know, these little tiny straw, you know, just like, you know, like just trying to, yeah, just like little tiny ropes, thimble things that can't, there's no way this can hold you. I mean, it's made out of toilet paper. So it's like if the guy just decides to get up and move, but they have, so what they do is they have to willfully control your mind, and they work very hard to control your mind and your perception, so that if that can be controlled, now you can be kept from coming out. Now you can be, so there's a huge battle on for your mind. There's a huge battle on for your consciousness. There's a huge battle on, that's on for how you see and view reality. What you believe is real. I mean, in this country, why are Tamils and the LTT the problem? Well, who created that problem? Who made that problem? Who perpetuates the problem? If you look at most people in this country, it's like, you know, they don't really want to. I mean, like, yeah, you have racism that's been built in, but it's like, you know, most people, if given the opportunity, would probably just be pretty decent to each other. Maybe, but there's still a spiritual aspect to all this stuff. But these problems have been perpetuated. They've been pushed. Other people have made them other issues. Made them bigger issues than what they would be if they had just left them be. But the role of religion, by and large, see, man inherently knows something's wrong. Because man is made in the image of God, so we know that we're made in the image of God, because of that, and then you see the condition that you're in, the fact that you see the condition that you're in and you know that you're made in the image of God, something in you resonates that. You're like, okay, something's wrong. Something's not right here. Because what you were made to be and what you are two different things. So when people realize that, when there's that like that divide, that grating thing that's there, it's just like, okay, what I am and who I am and what I was meant to be are not matching. There's that cognitive dissonance taking place inside of them. There's this mismatch. Just like, gosh, something's not right here. And then there's guilt and there's shame. And the religions of the world use those things. They use guilt, they use shame to keep you enslaved in it. Very creatively. And they're also gatekeepers to keep people from ever getting out. So like, for example, you know, recently, one way that I saw it recently even, was I was watching like this little YouTube video. And so there's this kid that's got this really cool message or whatever. But I saw like a different version where at the end of it, you know, so this kid calls in this radio station, has this really cool like dialogue back and forth, and God really spoke to this kid. Cool, cool message that he had. But then at the close of it, after the thing's done, then you see the recognized world system religious leaders now then trying to validate the message, trying to steer the message even back to their accreditation. You saw that one too. At the end of it, trying to steer it back to them, saying, oh wow, what a beautiful message. Yeah, isn't that young man just so, he really understands what God really means right now. And yes, what, that's just really, really special, really sweet. And so basically, what are they doing? These are now detached religious people, prison wardens of the world system, that now somebody is speaking truth, somebody is speaking light, and they recognize it, so they jump there and jump in front of it, and now what do? And now, oh, we are the validators of all that is spiritual, all that is holy. We now approve, and we disapprove. And this one, yes, we approve it. But ultimately, what are they doing? They're now standing in the place of God and your ability to... You know this. You heard that this kid is speaking the truth. Why do I need this guy to tell me? Unless, at the close of it, what his desire is, now listen to me for everything else. Because I am the moral authority on all things. I am now your validating for the next thing. And the next thing. So Jesus, when he's now in John chapter 8... when he's having this clash with these guys, these are the ones who are controlling the minds of the masses. These now are the ones who are controlling the religious system of the day. And if you can superimpose this on today, you can see why today, if Jesus was there, they want to kill him again. And actually they do. They go after those who speak the truth. Those that are actually God's servants, they will put out of their places, they won't allow them in, they won't give them a chance to speak, and if they ever do speak, they'll shout them down, they'll discredit them, they'll do whatever they can to keep that truth from going forward and to continue to perpetuate their system. So now, okay, why do people have a problem with Jesus? Okay, he's light, comes into the world, men love darkness. He's truth, so when that truth comes forward, it exposes the lie of everything that they've ever done. And now when you have somebody that's been 25 years in the box, 25 years, and this is how we always did it, and my grandmother bought the chandelier, and my grandfather paid for and put the grand piano that's in there, in that church, and it's there, we are pillars of this church. When you come up and you show people that it's a cult, that they're in, that they're following man and not God, that they should shut the place down because they're actually hurting people, it's not well received. I mean, Jesus here, what he says to these religious leaders of the day, he calls them children of the devil. That doesn't go over very well with people that are entrenched. They don't want to hear that. And the last thing that they want is other people to realize what they are. Now, why were they children of the devil? Well, in part, where was their allegiance? You remember when they were about to crucify Jesus? Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And what did they say? Do you remember that line? They said, well, Pilate, they said, we have no other king but Caesar. So when push came to shove, when everything started to get surfaced now, ultimately their allegiance was to the world and the world system and anyone that was in the world system that backed the whole thing. That was their allegiance. Not to the King of Kings, but to the King of the world and whoever it was that at that time was in charge of that system. So their allegiance was to the world. And so even to these guys here, their allegiance is to the world system and the manifestation of the world system, not to Christ. Though they use God's name, though they use His name, but they serve a different God. See, people have to understand that people will use Jesus' name because His name has power. They will use His name because He is the name that's above every other name. But they worship a different Jesus. They worship a different God. They don't serve Him, though they use His name. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew 7. Jesus talked about those that will come to Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do X, Y, Z in Your name? He's like, look, I don't know You. Get away from Me. So, because the things that they did were not in connection with Him. They used His name conveniently to validate themselves. His name had power. God still did different things, even in spite of what they were doing, but they had no connection with Him. They were not part of what He was. They're not His. So we have to allow for the Spirit of God to show us where people are coming from, whose are His, whose are not. Okay, another reason why they had a problem with Jesus is He exposed hearts and motives. See, when your heart is exposed, now you're stuck. And when the real reason behind why you're doing something is exposed, now you're stuck. And if you're standing, like Jesus was doing it now, in a massive crowd, thousands of people there, hundreds of people there, even dozens, whatever, big groups, but usually massive crowds with Jesus, because everywhere He went, people were just boom. And so imagine this now, imagine this scene, and you got 1,000 people standing there crowding in to hear what Jesus has to say, and here you have, you know, brother so-and-so, 25 years, pillar of the synagogue, standing there in front of Jesus, and He's like, you're a child of the devil. The devil is your father. Okay, just imagine that context. Let's just go through some of these lines here. And verse 42, and Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Even because ye cannot hear My words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe Me not. Oh, okay, just right there. He calls them children of the devil, wanting to do the lust of the devil, children of a liar, and he says that they don't want to do the truth. He says, I'll tell you that because I tell you the truth, you don't believe Me. Okay, imagine that being your heart, truly who you are. You don't want to believe the truth. You really are a child of the devil, and you are a liar. And you're standing there now in front of all these people, and everything that you do is for outward appearance. And now Jesus Christ there exposes your heart and your motive to everybody that's there, and they all know it too, but they just never wanted to say it. They all knew that you were fake. They just never had, nobody had the guts to say the emperor has no clothes on. Now somebody stands up and says, hey, look, the emperor's naked. And then everybody's like, wow, he is naked. So Jesus was really the one that came along and said, look, psh, you naked. You wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. He literally did that in Revelation chapter 3, where he told the entire church, look, you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You think you got it going on, but this is your actual spiritual condition. So Jesus had literally pointed and said, look, you're naked. So these guys, he showed where they were. He showed their actual spiritual condition. And rather than, see, a child of God, here's the difference in the response. When a child of God hears the truth, we're like, yeah, you're right. I am totally screwed without you. I am messed up. I have screwed up like this. And I need you. And I need salvation. I need a savior. I need somebody to rescue me from myself. Rescue me from this world. Rescue me from the bondage of sin. So it's like, that's, you know it. You're like, I need that. Versus, the response of the world is, how dare you? You know, who do you think you are? Literally, they ask him that. They're like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to tell us this? And they attack Jesus on every line they can possibly think of, without effect, without working, to the point at the end where just like, la la la, and they want to kill him. And then it just slips out of their midst. But their whole goal is to put out that light, to put out that truth. See, if they can't compromise you, they will try to kill you. Shut you up, move you out of the way, but do everything they can to continue the system that they have now given their soul over to. Okay. Keep your fingers in John, but just turn back a few pages to John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3. Okay. So John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not... Oh, okay, actually, let's just go to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Okay. So the verdict is that light's come into the world, but people don't want the light. They don't, because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And the children of light, we come into the light, the children of truth, we come into the light. And the thing is, when you come into the light, it's like exposes you. It exposes your heart, exposes your motives, exposes where you're coming from. But you know what? You're like, okay, fine. If that's what it takes to be... with God, if that's what it takes to have resolution, if that's what it takes to finally come to a place where I can have peace, so be it. So we accept that. We accept the consequence. And then, but then the thing is that God, He then, because when you come into the light like that, and you put your life before Him, you put your heart and soul before Him, now you allow for the application of the blood of Christ in your life. When you come into the light, because Christ is light. That's why Jesus even said, He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But in order for you to come unto Him, you have to come into the light. In order for you to come unto Christ, you have to come to the truth. And if you refuse to do that, you now stay in the darkness and you stay in a lie. So one side is light and truth, the other is darkness and a lie. So the bulk of the world and the majority of all that you'll ever meet have chosen the lie and the darkness. But see, the thing is too, is it's not sustainable. The problem with the lie is that doesn't work. It's a lie. So the whole world that's melting down right now is melting down because the lie is falling apart. See, everything that's a lie will eventually be uncovered. Sooner or later it will get known. So everything that's a lie now eventually comes apart. It just collapses. It doesn't work. And and in fact what's going on with the world is the world now needs to... You will see a breakdown in the world system. You will see economies collapse. You'll see all of these things, but this is also too on a spiritual level, because again, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians chapter 6. So you'll see the principalities of this world system, the demonic forces behind the scene, orchestrating through human agents that have given themselves over to the world system, and in exchange for position, you'll see them now orchestrate through these individuals a continuous enslavement of more and more of the people that are in the world, that are giving themselves over to it. And so you're going to see a consolidated world system. You're going to see more and more consolidations of currencies. You see, I mean, so ultimately the goal being Lucifer's still trying to, he's still stuck on Ephesians, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, where he's trying to set up his throne and to be worshipped and to be like God. He's still trying to do this. I mean, Lucy can't get it through his head. I mean, just like he just can't figure it out yet. That is not going to work. He's not going to be able, I mean, his thing's not going to stand. So, but still God allows for this thing to persist and to go on, because there's a divine plan being worked out in the middle of all this. Okay, so now what is it that light and truth revealed when Jesus was dealing with the religious leaders of his day? What did he reveal about them? So when I say religious leaders are two, I am not, I'm saying all religions, including the religion of Christianity. Religion of Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, all religions in the world. Hey, ¿cómo estás? Entre. Come. Okay. So, all religions in the world. Sniffles day. Yeah, sure. Sure, go ahead. Okay. So, the statement, and I'll be very dogmatic, is all religions in the world are forms of this, manifestations, again, of this warden system to harvest and maintain and keep souls captivated and ever from coming to a knowledge of truth. So think about it. You have this cognitive dissonance inside of you because you were made in the image and likeness of God, and you know something's wrong. So then now, if you reach this point where, oh, shoot, my life is falling apart, marriage is not working, business is falling apart, health is failing, whatever, somebody died, and I realize I'm not ready to die yet. Okay, what do I do? I need to figure out these answers to these questions. And what do you have? Right there now, the religious system of the world then stands in front and says, oh, well, if you just say these pujas. Oh, if you just come and do 20 Hail Marys. Oh, if you now just come on Sunday for service and come afterwards and we'll pray with you in the back room and you're okay. But you're not okay. Because you still have this grating thing in your spirit, but it's given to you as a sedative for you to ever, to keep you just going week to week. See, this is again, the church, the early church was not a week to week thing. The early church and the true church is who you are right now. This is church. We are church. You are a body of believers in Christ Jesus. So this is us. So actually, when they put it into buildings, God doesn't, he even said in Isaiah at the end, it's like, I think Isaiah 66, where he said, look, I don't live in buildings, I don't live in temples built by human hands. He never has. Now, I mean, he did in the Old Testament by choice, but he was not confined to that.
Which chapter was that?
Here, let me show. That is Isaiah. He did live in the tabernacle for a purpose, to exemplify a spiritual reality, but not because he was confined to it. That was well, okay, one thing along those lines, Isaiah 66 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hands made, and all these things have been mine, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Okay.
No, you can pray in Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. No, 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 this is a good... Let me just check here. Nats has a cold, too.
No, I was okay.
I think I asked you this question before as well. I texted you.
Really? I texted you back on that one, didn't I?
No.
I did.
No, you did, but you didn't. You didn't have to. You were busy. You were in the middle of something, I think.
Really? Okay.
You can check it out.
Yeah. Okay. Here. Okay.
After you finish.
Okay. Wait. Now you've got it in my head. Okay. Okay. It is in. Wait. Okay. Okay. Acts chapter 7, verse 48 says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or where is the place of my rest?" So, that's Acts 7, verse 48. Yeah. Okay. So, the point being that, yeah. See, this is when it's truly Bible study. We're actually like looking through. Okay. So, heaven is my throne on the earth, and that's Isaiah 66, 1 and 2 again. That's like the references to that. So Paul is referencing that one. And okay, all right. So good question. Got to keep me honest. Yeah, because that's again something too. If I can't show it to you in the Word, please don't believe me.
No, don't be
serious. No, serious. Because there's.
I'm watching for different views. I haven't been asking you this for a while. Just show me
now. Okay. What did Jesus reveal though about these religious leaders? So now light and truth has come here. Now it's revealing these guys for where they are. But even along the lines of the whole temple thing, just side note, God set up the tabernacle, God set up the temple for a purpose. The purpose was to show a natural example of a spiritual reality. That was the whole reason he did it, was to show a natural example of a spiritual reality, to show that we were, he wanted to show some things about how things were set up in the heavenlies. He gave Moses a very specific commandment saying, look, don't change anything, don't take any liberties with this thing, this is exactly how you build it, this is exactly what he wants you to do with it. And then after the whole thing was set up, the high priest was put in place, all of that stuff, in the end, so that the natural example of the spiritual reality could be understood, so that when Christ Jesus showed up and he did exactly what he did, we would have a full understanding that in the realm of spirit, the way was now made for us to have connection with God, and there was no more separation between us and God, and there was no more anyone standing between us and God, because now we have one high priest that makes the way for us to the Father through His blood. That's why when the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom by the hand of God, when Jesus cried out in the crucifixion, "It is finished," when He cried out like that, it was done. His body was, it was done. The price was paid. Boom. Here goes the veil of the temple, top to bottom, 4 inches thick, knotted, just ripped in two, and people could see directly into the Holy of Holies. Because now the way was made through Christ Jesus, there's no more separation between us and God. If we didn't have that natural example of the spiritual reality, we wouldn't have understood it. Now we have it, so now we understand it, now move on. Exactly, no, that's exactly it. Now move on. Don't go back there. Stitch back up the veil of the temple. Stand in front and say, wait, come back, everyone. No, God, see now we can actually shift into what God intended for us in the first place. We can actually now move into, because now we can actually move into now, in this dispensation, you can walk out life here in the earth in direct connection with the Father and live out an amazing, adventurous life with Him, trusting Him, knowing Him. You don't have to live in the bondage of the world system anymore. See, now here's the thing about sin. Sin is... okay, I had one friend that said this good statement the other day. He said transgression, same thing, but going beyond the limits God sets for you. That's one. But anything that... and then Isaiah 59 verse 2 says that your sins have put a block basically between you and God. So what sin does is it binds us to the world and the world system. It's like that, it's like the handcuff to the world. But it's not the world. Everybody's sinned too. Everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. So what we have to do is basically, just when you realize, okay, all of us have messed up, get right and turn from it, be done with it, and move on. And if there's some place where you have a weakness, take it back to God, continue with it, persist in that, but don't go back to it. And if you know that you have some place that's really, then keep yourself out of those situations. Be smart, use your head. But what happens is eventually, if your heart is for God, if your heart is for truth, if you really want that, then eventually what happens is so many of these things I've seen just melting off people, because that becomes their passion. He becomes their obsession. He becomes their addiction. And so more than anything else, that's what they want. And so when you want His presence, when you want... so for example, if you love the presence of God more than you love anything else, then when something comes to you and something tries to get in the way of that, you don't want it, because you know what that does to your relationship and your connection with Him. So it's like something, just like, no, I don't want that, because this is more important. It's not that these other things don't have allure, it's not that these other things don't have attraction, but that which I desire more than anything else is the walk in spirit, is the connection with my Father. Why would I trade that for something temporal? Why would I trade that for something that's fleeting? See, everything that the world offers you is temporal. Everything that the devil can offer you is for this life. You realize that? He can't offer you anything for the next life. And even if he did, he's the father of all lies, like Jesus said. So even if he did, it would be empty. So people that think they're going to get something on the other side of this... rude awakening, you know. And the devil hates even those that serve him. I mean, how can you have any respect for a slave that sold himself for and sold his soul for nothing? He doesn't respect even those that are his. So God will love and die for those that are his. The devil just throws them away. Okay. What did Jesus reveal about those that were the gatekeepers, the spiritual gatekeepers of his day? Okay, here, let's go through a few of these. Verse 15 in chapter 8 of John. Okay, one, they judge after the flesh. They judge after the flesh. Okay, what contrast that to 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Versus the way that they go is that they will go by outward appearance. What looks good to man? What looks good to others? How can I be perceived? How many of them have special shirts, special clothes, special something to show you that they are in fact something in a spiritual reality? Why? Why do I need... No, seriously, why do you need some special collar? Why do you need some special robe? Why do you need, you need this extra thing now under this dispensation of grace to show me that, because you need this to show me that you have some position to lord it over me. Or then why? You know, why would you wear that? Because you want my respect? You know. We don't stop and even process these things. We just accept it. And then all of a sudden somebody shows up in this shirt and everybody's getting up their seat on the bus to, like, please sit here. I mean, these guys are the same guys running porno rackets. No, I'm serious. These guys are some of the worst pedophiles are these priests and these Buddhist, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, pick your pick. It's a pedophile network a lot of times. And in fact, because they've conditioned people to the point where people accept that these guys are supposed to be spiritual leaders, then they actually take down their guard. And if you were a pedophile, you would realize, whoa, if I can just qualify through some of these things, I get easy access. So, they judge after the flesh. Whereas, go ahead.
Okay, when it comes to religious things, especially when it comes to Christian, Islam, don't people are converted to because there is a certain calling? It's not like Buddhism.
No, I understand.
There is a certain calling.
I was in that system. Because I was part of that whole system at one point in time. Because, see, here's the thing too, is also what will happen is, I was part and parcel of it. If there was somebody that was kind of like a young Paul, I was in that same line, you know, like just, and with that, because what you're told is, okay, if you love God, now you're going to the churches, if you love God and you're called to serve Him, okay, you'll either be a pastor or you'll be a missionary. Those are your two choices. Those are your only options, by the way. There is no fivefold ministry, nothing like that. You're either a pastor or a missionary, because those are the only two that make money, by the way, which incidentally I never did. So I became a missionary pastor, because I really love God. And with along those lines, you go through all... I'm glad that I was in that system. I'm glad that because I learned. And I learned on the inside of what's really going on, what they're really about. It's another business. Religions of this world is another business, by and large. But you do get people that come in there that genuinely have a heart for God. They really do. There are those that are in there. But what's happening with them is, by and large, is that they can proceed to a point, and then they're required to either, now when you start, your eyes start to be open to what's really going on, either you will turn a blind eye to it and become part and parcel of the system and exchange your soul in exchange to be part of the system.
Control.
Or you will follow the voice of God and now come out. And you'll take whatever it is. Think of John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist's dad was the high priest in Jerusalem. And he was the high priest. That's the big man.
That's his voice
also. Yeah. But even with them too. They were righteous people. And there is righteous people in there. This is the thing. See, here's the thing too. The wheat and the tares do grow together. And you have to understand this too. God will put some of His in these places. And this is why too, you go where God tells you to go. You do what God tells you to do. You don't take on the role of a pastor if God didn't call you to be a pastor. You don't take on the role of a businessman if God didn't call you to be a businessman. But see, the thing people have to learn is to trust God and then to follow the direction and the leading of His Holy Spirit. So if God calls you to be a singer, be the best singer that God has ever allowed and called you to be. God calls you to be in tea, be the best tea man that God... You see what I'm saying? Do it, all things is unto the Lord. But if not... See, this is why too, people have to learn to listen to His voice and trust Him for themselves. But what happens is people, again, give themselves over to a system. No man validates you in the kingdom of God. God validates. No man picks the position of a spiritual leader in the kingdom of God. God gives that responsibility to others. So, for example, if someone says, oh yeah, I have this accreditation by such and such in ministry, church, Bible college, who cares? Man, because actually, the devil loves that. Because now if he can accredit people and give them a worldly accreditation that's now accepted as a rank of spiritual authority, what does that do? Now it keeps and perpetuates the world bondage religious system going.
You see, what Satan does is just stroke
your
ego.
Yeah. So the things that are used, ego, yes, guilt, shame. You notice how your past is never let go of? You know, you can in the world religious system, you never get away from that. You get somebody that's a hooker, come out of it, now they come in, okay, let's clean them up, okay, now, yay, praise the Lord, now they're new. Great, but you never quite got, you're still in the back of my head, you're still, because we still know where you came from. You notice how that is? You know, you never really got, you know, I mean, yes, you did, and yeah, God loves you, God saved you, and you're okay now, and great, you're coming to heaven, come on Sunday, and don't forget to tithe. But, you know, but in the end, what is it? You're really not redeemed. You're not quite as good as.
You'll never be good enough.
No. Because, why? Because again, they judge after men. And why is the way that they work? Because they're, again, part and parcel of the world system. See, this is a work of the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God in a person can enable you to see them the way God sees them. What does God do? As far as the East is from the West, He separates our sins from us. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, He'll make them white as snow. Like, this is God. So it's like, if God does that, and He doesn't keep, if He kept a record of wrongs, who could stand? And since God doesn't keep that on those that have come to Him, and it's finished, like Christ Jesus was on the cross, like it is finished, because God does that, who the hell do they think they are? No pun intended. I mean, it's like, where do they get off? To hold that over on you. To put that on you. To keep you... Now, what's the purpose? To keep your soul in the bondage of the world system so you never, ever, ever get out. Because if you understood the truth of the gospel, that a hooker can come to God and all of a sudden she can be used... Very real example, Rahab the prostitute. Literally a hooker that knows what God is doing... And is used as an example of righteousness when they're going through in Hebrews. Hello, it's like, I mean, this is God's way. If you realize the people that God used and God called, and I mean, this, today Jesus would be flipping these places upside down. He'd be showing them for what they are. So they'd have no place for Jesus these days. Okay, so let's just go through a few other things that He revealed. The judge after the flesh, of verse 19, revealed that they don't know God. They don't know God. Now contrast that to John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true living God, and the Son Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. So it's like, okay, these guys... that they don't know God. So those that stand in the position of God, stand in the barrier to people from knowing whatever, spiritual enlightenment, whatever it is that people are trying to seek in spirit, those that stand in the position, they don't know what they're talking about. Excuse me. So they don't know God. Verse 24, that they will die in their sins. Okay. Verse 28, that, let's see here, that Jesus said too, he's going to show a sign to prove also all of this stuff is true, what he says about them. So Jesus confirms all this stuff that he says about them. So take the before and after, that they walk in the flesh, they don't know God, they die in their sins. Verse 32, that they're not free. Now how somebody, that they serve sin. Now how, verses, contrast it to verse 32, that you know the truth and the truth makes you free. How is somebody that's not free going to talk to me about freedom? How is someone that's bound in this stuff gonna, and a slave to the world, gonna talk to me about what it is to be free? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I remember business college. You know, there's that old adage, if you can't do, teach, and if you can't teach, write a textbook? No, okay, it's a college thing. Basically, like the premise being like, you know, and I was amazed when I was in college, in business college, you start talking to these professors, how many of them came from failed businesses? A lot of them did. And so what happened was, now looking back, I understand, they were in the business world, their businesses failed, and all of a sudden they're like, shoot, I can't do this. Okay, let me go to university and let me teach. And so they had their years of business experience, they went to the colleges and they had like a master's, or they had enough qualifications to teach in the school, so then they went to that place. But now, these are the ones now, in the college, teaching you, teaching other people, here's how you do business. You see what I'm saying? Not all of them, some were fantastic business people, but a bunch of them weren't. But now, how is somebody going to teach me how to do business if they themselves failed, unless they're going to teach me what not to do.
This is what I did, so don't.
Yeah, this is what I did. And some of them were honest like that, which is nice. But
I think that would be a different thing altogether if they actually say it.
Yeah. No, and that's, some of them did too. They're just like, look, you know, I did this one business, and there was two other brothers, and this was three of us, and you know, it's like, you know, don't set yourself up like this. You're guaranteed to fail. That's nice. But see, these guys don't do that. What these guys do is they talk about something from a vantage point of perceived authority, and how dare you question me if, but in the truth, they're not free, they're slaves to the world, and actually what they're trying to run is a business and their product sucks. And the only reason that they perpetuate the whole thing is because people buy into it. People buy into the illusion. Because it has a form of godliness. But in the end, it denies the power thereof. Okay, so they're not free. They serve sin. Versus, you know, as contrast to, you know the truth. What Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But actually, let's touch on this for a second. Verse 31 says, if you continue in my words, then ye shall be my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, this is the thing for us. We continue on. So when God shows you something, do it. When He reveals something to you, walk in it. Keep going in the way of truth. You mess up, fine, stop. But get up and keep going in the way of truth. Don't stop. Continue to persist in righteousness. And then if you continue to do that, you will know the truth. The truth will be solidified in your heart, and the truth will make you free. So the whole thing about Galatians being written to the early church was, look, don't get wrapped up again in the yoke of bondage. You came out of that. Don't get wrapped up in it again. Okay. What else did he show them? Verse 40 said that they're nothing like those that they cite as heroes. You know, it's interesting because it's like, so these guys kept referencing Abraham. You know, but they're nothing like him. But they use Abraham as a means to validate themselves. And so many times what happens with these guys is they will reference other people, they will reference missionaries, they will reference spiritual leaders of the past, they will reference prophets, they will reference Jesus anybody to validate themselves, they'll reference Buddha, they'll reference Muhammad, they'll reference anybody that might give them some credibility, because they themselves lack any of it. So they have to rely on and try to use somebody else. But the truth of the matter is, they're nothing like Christ, and they're nothing like those that serve Him. They just distort the truth, and they use it as a means to continue to perpetuate the illusion. See, the thing is, when people stop believing it, it'll fall apart. And actually, that you'll see that particularly in the States in these days ahead, because people will realize the religion that they've been fed there for so long doesn't work. And when they realize it doesn't work, they are going to collapse. Yeah, they're going to.
Because of that, I mean, in 1938, I mean, there was no charismatic movement. They're the ones who, you know, bought it to Sri Lanka. And then it started growing, and now there's like about, I don't know, you can't even count how many denominations.
Oh, well, you know, here's something too. I thought about this one time. The very nature of denominations is division. And God's not divided.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus is not divided. The Spirit of Truth is not divided. The nature of a denomination is division. Because the early church was the church in Antioch, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Macedonia. I mean, it's like, it was just, there was a church. The church, wherever the location was, that was the church. So this would be the church in Colombo. Just wherever the body of Christ is, that's the physical location they are, because there is no split. We're all in Christ, if you really know those. So the nature of a denomination, the very sheer nature of its existence, is division. And it's saying that we're divided from you, and over here we're the ones with the special truth. Isn't that a failed foundation from the start? The very fact that you say that, oh yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's like the very fact that it is a denomination and it's divided and Christ is not divided should be enough for somebody to say, this is not it, and to walk away from it. Just that alone, just that fact alone. But people can't. They don't have the courage to trust God and just to walk in faith with Him, because they want that social network, they want that support, they want that place, that affiliation, because hey, they get a lot of business contacts from going on Sunday. And hey, the church is a nice place to meet a pretty girl. You might get a date. I'm serious.
Yeah, my brother used to say that.
No, exactly. How many people?
I mean, not now.
You already got your pretty guy. Okay, alright, moving on. Alright, what else did Jesus reveal with these guys in discussing with these religious leaders? Their father's the devil. Their father is the originator of the world system. And they are children of the world system. They are the offspring of the world system, and they perpetuate the world system, and their goal and their responsibility in it is to stamp out the light and to block the truth. That's all they did before, that's all they'll ever do. Outside of the redemption of Christ Jesus in their life, and outside of them coming to truth, they will never be any different than that. And to realize it's where they come from, and to realize all the extra stuff is window dressing, all the extra stuff is a sugar coating on a crap sandwich. If you realize that's what it is, then you can actually put it in proper perspective. And then you realize, okay, this is where you guys are coming from. There is no light, there is no truth. And you give it enough time and it does pollute your mind. And you can if you walk with the Spirit of God for some time, you can walk into one of these places and you just feel the absolute deadness there. There's nothing there. Nothing there. It's just a shell. Okay. What else? Verse 49, they dishonor God. And verse 58, Jesus also revealed that He Himself is God. and we have no place for him. So they serve a different master, they serve a different God, and you have to, when you realize that the role that they have is to keep people in bondage to the world and the world system, then you also realize why you should never, ever, ever listen to them again. And you should never, ever, ever allow them to have any position where they can speak into your life. Look for and allow the Spirit of God to lead you to those that are brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus. And let those be the ones that you share your life with. They will build you up, you build them up. God will put those there that will be able to be a strength to you, and you'll be a strength to them. And walk in that. And forsake the world, and forsake the social affiliation. You don't need it. God is your provision, God is your protection, God is your everything. And let that stuff go, and then walk in spirit. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll read that verse again. If ye continue in my words, then ye are my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.